is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We have more guests coming your way this hour, which will include Louis Corrala, who's your strength and conditioning coach at Georgia Tech. And Charles Snowden is a tremendous linebacker, 6'7", will go get you. From the University of Virginia, and we look forward to having both those gentlemen on later this hour. Again, numbers 844-SAY-ACCN. A lot of discussion during the break about whether or not Michael Jordan was on the boat when he caught the Marlin. Dude, when you got an $8 million yacht, why would you ever get off? I mean, if you're going to spend $8 million on a yacht, yeah, you're going to be on the boat. You got to be on the boat. Right?
Wait a second.
You got to be on the boat.
No. There was... There was not any discussion about Jordan being on the boat. You're the one that said, if I'm quoting correctly, as they were pulling in, Jordan hopped on the boat.
Bring the fish in. Let me jump on that thing now. Yeah. Remember, I own this thing, boys. Nobody say a word. By the way, did Mike look like he was? Did Jordan look like he was working hard? Was there an ounce of sweat on him? I mean, you just hauled in a 400-pound fish and looked like he just rolled out of bed. Yep. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Yes. Hey, let me tell you something.
Look at Mike. Here comes Mike. He just walked in from a nap.
His shoes?
Yeah, he got his shoes off.
No, he didn't. No. Like,
run the video again. Jordan comes from a nap. He's got his shoes off. These guys are out there busting it, bringing in this. Look at Jordan. There's his shoes.
He's got shoes on. Daddy. He's been working in the well.
He's barefooted, walking out with his brand new Nikes. He's like, man, we caught this fish. Man, why don't you guys wake me up and tell me about it? Come on, Mike.
Stop it. Mike was involved. Look, Mike's right there. He's got his Jordans on.
Yeah, look at him.
What's that? Come on, man.
Look at Mike. He's telling this guy.
What's that guy saying? Hey,
you know what Mike's telling him? Hey, man, that's really funny. Now get off my boat. Go ahead. Get away. Please, get off my boat. Hey, that's what he's telling him.
You know what?
Please, get away. Step back.
I want to go back to that video if we can. Jen and Josh, can we slow that video down? That guy's got an NC State hat on. So, you know, he walked up to Mike and goes, well, I was an NC State guy, but I really liked you.
Here comes Mike, barefooted, no shoes on. Yeah, that's great. That is so good.
Wait a second. Look, how about the NC State guy shaking his hand?
Yeah. He's telling me.
By the way, I'd like one of those shirts, by the way. I want to get Jordan to get us one of those Catch 23 shirts. Yeah, come on. Look, now watch. This guy's got an NC State hat on. Watch. You'll see the block S when he turns.
Hey, wait a minute. I think I know that guy. Wait a minute. We know that guy. That's Elliot Avent. That's NC State baseball coach Elliot Avent.
No.
Elliot's come in. You missed a great. Where you been, Mike? You been sleeping? What you been doing, man? You don't have your shoes on trying to catch a 500-pound fish? Please. Oh, that's fantastic.
Day three, we lost it.
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, you and I are going to go fly fish, though. I'm dead serious. And I will be the first one to tell you, I'm not a huge fisherman. You can find that shocking. But fly fishing is unbelievably cool. I'm telling you, I got hooked on it. Just telling you. Have I ever led you astray on anything?
When did you go fly fishing?
Last time I went fly fishing, my wife got me for my birthday a fly fishing trip. And we went up to the North Carolina mountains with a guide. You got to have a guide because I can't tie those things, the flies. I can't do all that. But it's like reading a green. Right? That's why you... You know what? People who fly fish are watching this show going, Wes Durham is so disrespectful. See, Pac's trying to educate.
No.
Listening.
Wrong.
Wes, listen to me a second. When you go fly fishing, all right, and I'm not telling you I'm an expert. I'm just telling you how much enjoyment I got doing it. You have to read the river. It's like reading a green. You have to outsmart the fish. So you point where you're going with the fly fish, you put your bait out there, and then you look to, you kind of time the river and where the fish are. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm just telling you, you will love it because all of a sudden it's a cat and mouse game. No pun intended to Clifford D, but it's a cat and mouse game where you get the fish, man. You got to time it just right. You read the river and it changes. The river is always changing, the current. So that's how you got to do it. And there's a rhythm to casting the fly. It's not just like, hey, Jethro, roll it in there. I got some catfish. It doesn't work that way. It's a timing issue. It's like a golf shot. It's like getting the 7-iron and timing it and feathering it out there, Wes. You think I'm crazy.
I got one question.
Okay.
Is there any math involved?
No. That's why you get the expert to go with you. Because he or she is going to tell you, now listen, you got to pay attention to the flow of the river. You got to understand the fish are moving. And also the different flies are bait, basically. I mean, it is a fascinating experience. And then you're out there in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a stream. The noise is great. Nobody bothers you. There's no cell phone. The weather's perfect. You can't beat it. I'm telling you, it's fantastic.
And how many times have you been?
3 or 4. I love it. I mean, I wish I could do it more often. I really do. And I'm not, you know, I took fly fishing lessons, how to cast, because there's a timing issue to it. I know. You think I'm nuts. But that's okay. I'm trying to help you. And you're there in Cartersville, Georgia. I got nothing to do. Watching, you know, you're watching your fields in the back with a cat, making sure there's no coyotes. I know how you work down there. This would be a great release for you. It's fly fishing. I think we should do a Packer and Durham fly fishing trip. I really do. I think it'd be awesome. Now, I know you're busy in the fall. You got your 800 games. I'm down here in the basement. I know how it works. So we'd find a time that works. Like right now, it'd be great. June and July, a Packer and Durham fly fishing trip would be tremendous.
Sure.
Social distancing. I mean, we could stay within 800 feet of each other. Get a couple experts. Have the girls go, get, you know, buy the liquor, do whatever they do during the day. We'd go out there in the middle of the river. Be fantastic. And let me tell you something. For folks that are watching us right now or listening to us on 371, if you would call in to vouch for fly fishing, Wes Durham would be sold on this. Because I'm telling you, you don't even have to be, even if you don't like fishing, this is a different experience. It's fantastic. All right, that's all I'm going to say.
The former Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech athletics director Dave Brain used to be a regular fly fisherman and still may be for all I know. But Dave not only fished in the North Georgia Mountains when he was the AD at Georgia Tech, he also, I think, did some work in Virginia as well. And then used to go to Montana for stretches at a time to fly fish. And I think Jeff Bourne, who worked for Dave at Virginia Tech, is now the longtime athletics director at James Madison. I think there's some athletic administrators and coaches that like the fly fishing game, Pac.
I think it's a
nice release and serenity from the day-to-day, maybe, of that world.
I will put that out there for a Packer and Durham fly fishing extravaganza. I think we could do something really cool. I mean, totally different, off the wall. This idea just happened 3 minutes ago watching Michael Jordan pretend he caught a marlin. I think we could do some really cool stuff with this. I really do. And by the way, you got to put on the waders and the whole deal now. You're going to go out there in the stream. It'll come up to your waist. You will love it. You will love it.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Just launched my baby to sleep till failure. Very proud dad moment.
We've got to get Lewis on with that now. Now, you're talking about creativity in the workout.
Now.
That's good stuff right there. I love that. All right, Coach, first of all, who came up with that idea, Lewis? Was that you or your wife?
I was just trying to help my wife out. She was doing stuff in the house, and I just took her through a workout.
I love it. That is great.
Lewis Corrala is the in charge of strength and conditioning at Georgia Tech, and in particular for the football program, a valuable member of Jeff Collins' program and staff, certainly in football, but also Todd Stansbury's athletic department. I said going to break, you became a social media phenomenon during the pandemic because you, I don't know if this was something that was in the back of strength and conditioning coaches' minds, Lou, but all of a sudden you had to find a different way to work out. So how did you generate ideas? Did you have something in mind? Hey, by the way, if this ever happens, this is our go-to plan, or where did all this develop from? Because it was phenomenal to follow on social media.
No, I mean, it's never been in my mind, honestly, of this ever happening. So when it did, you know, we kept thinking it might take a few weeks or then, you know, maybe a month, but 3 months straight, you know, you got to have some content in your head. So I think one of the, I guess, the benefits that came from all of it was always trying to be creative before this ever happened. And, you know, any interview I've ever kind of been on, it's always been like, I could train this team with no weights in an empty room. Just give me the guys and a whistle. That's all I need. But it turned out to be a blessing because my six-year-old son was my cameraman. And, it, you know, filming backpack and water jug workouts was a true joy that I'll never forget. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
So what's it like doing push-ups with baby drool coming down your chin?
You know, it's good. It's great medicine to get them to bed. It's very, very calming for them.
On a serious note, Lewis, we have discussed this a lot, and that is student-athletes getting back on campus. From what you can tell, and again, everybody's had to have the discipline to take care of business during this pandemic before everybody's gotten back here. What have you seen with your guys so far in terms of their condition?
I mean, so we get back June 15th, and we've had Zoom meetings every day, every week with coaches and players. And, you know, they're always – I'm in every group text with the guys, of them sending videos of them working out. I mean, the relationship we have with our players is so important and was crucial during this time because we trust them. You know, if we give them something to do, we believe they're going to do it. And even though we can't make them, we had a lot of faith in them that they were taking care of their own. So I try to send them as much as I can individually, you know, stuff that I'm doing on my own. I hope they are too, just to hopefully place it in their heart that this is no time to rest.
Lewis, I want to dive back into the industry here a little bit because I think we've learned a lot about, and Pac and I were just talking about this in the previous hour, we've learned a lot about the inner workings of college athletics, right? I mean, Pete DeMore, the softball coach at Virginia Tech, was with us, and we were just talking about the world of college athletics, the economics of it, but also the kind of the parts and mechanics of it. In your industry, in strength in particular, and conditioning and nutrition and all those things, essentially you had to go find whole new roads to go down. What do you think we learned about strength and conditioning? What do you think the benefit to your industry in college athletics will be on the backside of this from what you've seen so far?
I just think, you know, there's no excuse. You know, there's a way if you love it. And if it's very important to you, you're going to find that way. So nothing to me is impossible if you just make time for it. You got to be intentional about it. So I surveyed my house and I'm like, all right, I can load those backpacks up with books. I can, no one has anything. So I got to think of what common household items would be. And, water jugs, those are good for weights right now. And then playgrounds, you know, I thought with those three things, I could get a lot done. And in the backside of the whole profession, just get outside of the box. I mean, you don't have to rely on your own weight room all the time. And you need to start thinking a lot more on how to get through to the kids too, because the only thing I've ever tried to do as a coach, especially strength and conditioning, since you're with the players so much, it's so important to stimulate their brain and keep them guessing and make them want to keep coming back because they don't know what you have cooking for them. You know, I think that's a huge piece that a lot of people forget about, and I had a lot of fun during this time coming up with ideas to get through to them.
So what's the last time you pushed up a pickup truck up a hill or anything like that? Because I've seen that on video. It almost became commonplace. I mean, you've really come up with some stuff out of the box here.
I mean, just everything, you name it. I mean, we've tried to put it on film for all the guys to see, but then it ended up being like, you know, half of the southeast of all high school football programs taking advantage of these workouts too. I got a lot of feedback from them, and that was a lot of fun to hear that.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you, because I've run into some high school football coaches up here in the Cartersville area who were concerned because not only did you guys lose your entire spring and the off-season program, but high schools and guys who are potential recruits for college programs go under the same problem, and they've got to come up with scenarios. So while football coaches at the college level talk to the high school coaches, I got to guess that strength guys, I mean, you're giving the high school guy as much to consider while you're also trying to sort it out, aren't you?
Yeah, it's you know, recruiting is what it is. It's just, I think everyone was glued to their phone the last 3 months, and I thought the free workouts we put out there for people helped a lot because there was a ton of feedback that I never even expected. It started out as just for the guys, and then I realized it's still public, but it was a lot. I had a true joy watching other teams try to attempt these workouts too, and then the feedback was great, and it just caught on. So I am happy to be going back, but it definitely had its blessings while we were in this whole thing together.
Lewis, when the guys...
Lewis, what's your expectation?
No. Go ahead, Wes.
Lewis, what's going to be your expectation here in a week or so? I mean, do you have a sense of maybe where this team is going to be? I mean, I think that's a real question as these players and student-athletes start returning to campus. Do you have an idea where you think that bar will be for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, being together for 3 months straight, it would not be the same. I can't go in there thinking that they did everything perfect. So I think it's important for all strength coaches right now across America not to put their foot down day one. You know, you got to be safe. You got to evaluate where they're at. I think our guys are going to be fine. I really do. But I have to be very careful, follow protocol, and just be safe.
That was going to be my follow-up with you too, Lewis, is that how quickly do you get back into the typical rhythm? I mean, if I would have said to you, hey, a year ago on June 15th, what were you guys working on versus what June 15th could possibly look like next week? And, again, I guess that's where, hey, that's why you're getting paid the big bucks, because you've got to figure out, hey, where is this football team from a physical standpoint? Because it's not easy. I mean, you know, you're not dealing with Mark Packer and Wes Durham in their workouts. These are guys that are really dialed in with what they want to do.
Yeah, I just think you know, June 15th last year, I mean, we were rolling. We had such a great vibe in the building, the energy. We're all around each other. It was awesome. You know, the culture was year one last year, and it was just getting started still. This year, I felt like we made a lot of gains in the off season, and then everything got cut. So I think if we didn't have this winter, I don't feel like the relationships and the guys that made so much gains would have worked as hard in this time off, because there was a lot of positives that came out of this winter program we had. So hopefully we're all caught up. I just have to be very careful on evaluating and making sure that they're ready for what I'm writing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think fans and people that follow college football realize the value of the strength and conditioning staff, certainly to the most successful programs, because those are the people that arguably spend as much time around the players as anybody else. I think the other benefit, and maybe you can share on this, is that you guys also know how to create unbelievable efficiency, whether it's with a bigger number of players or a smaller number. So if it's going to be small groups going forward from a health and safety perspective, I would guess that's okay for you guys too, right?
Right. And, you know, phase one for us is just not the whole team. It's local guys, and we have groups of 10. It's not going to be very involved. And then phase two, we are expecting the entire team to be back. We're just playing it safe, being smart with this whole thing. And we ordered 5 more racks for our indoor facility, so that would make 10 racks. So we're going to have 10 guys here, 10 guys there. And we got 2 fields to condition them on in phase two. So it's going to work. And we're very proactive about the approach, and it's just going to be different. You know, we're going to embrace different, and we're going to look forward to everything we still have to look forward to.
Hey, Lewis, you know what? And I don't mean to put a blanket statement, but a lot of folks have a perception of the strength and conditioning guy as being out of his mind, going bonkers. You see guys on sidelines going nuts, screaming, going bonkers. You know, you got Jeff Collins, who's an absolute live wire. He's been hanging out with us here in the basement before. What is your game day demeanor? Are you the low-key strength and conditioning guy, or are you the absolute, I'm a 15 on a 10 scale? Who are you?
So I really love watching the players play, and it's not like I'm there to put on a show. It's about them. You know, I really like working with them so hard all year to try to get them to a goal that is Saturday. It's so fulfilling for me to just go watch them play. So yeah, I get really excited if they make plays. I'm jumping up and down. I don't think I'm a clown. I don't think I'm trying to be the show, but it's definitely very exciting for me and fulfilling to watch the kids you train all year, go to battle together. You know, I love going to battle with them. So I feel like I'm in there with them.
Hey Lou, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Great to have you with us, and, look forward to seeing how this fall unfolds for you and your colleagues in strength and conditioning. I think it's one of the really fascinating aspects of what we're going to get into, and we appreciate your time.
No, thank you guys so much for having me. It means a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Louis. Appreciate it.
Louis Corrala runs Georgia Tech strength and conditioning, and we appreciate him joining us. I'd like to check back with him, Pac, in about 3 months and kind of see what he learned when kids returned to campus. I think that'd be really interesting.
Well, forget 3 months, about 3 weeks. I mean, really, this time next month, based on what the NCAA laid out in terms of, hey, it's go time, we're basically in it's go time. And so I'll be really good. I think to me that's the underlying story between now and the next month, and that is the condition, the safety, and the health of these student athletes. What did they do over these 3 months during the pandemic as they now come back on campus? So, it's something certainly worth keeping an eye on, no doubt. All right, before we go to break, though, Wes.
All right, when we...
Before we go to break, got Charles Snowden coming up here in a minute. But I'm going to take a quick phone call, all right? A quick phone call. 844-SAY-ACCN. Jim in South Carolina has been holding patiently. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Wes, how are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Good.
Just wanted to say right quick, number one, appreciate what all you guys do for the conference and all the sports, and it's I can't ever wait to see your show, and it's so great to have you back. And Pat, just
back.
Wanted to say appreciate what you said yesterday about Coach Sweeney and the comments you made. It was spot on. Thank you for what you do in that regard as well.
Not my problem. That was long overdue. But go right ahead.
Yes, it was. Wes, you need to go fly fishing. There is nothing more relaxing, nothing more stress relieving than being out on that stream and learning about nature. It's something you just need to.
Okay.
You don't realize what it and how you will bond, how you and Pat will actually bond together. There is, you know, the joy that you get. I don't care where it's a little kid. I don't care where it's a grandma, a grandpa, but to see somebody to catch their first fish, because you think all that fish is just a dumb creature. No. What Pac has said, reading a river, seeing the ebb and flow of the river, the different kind of baits, because you can't just throw any old fly out there at any time and say, oh, well, they're going to fish. No, they don't work like that. But it's just bonding, bonding with your friend, and it develops the friendships that will last lifetimes with people you don't even never have met. I mean, it's just, you won't believe it. It's incredible. And as Pat
preach
says.
Preach it, Jim.
Do what now?
I said preach it. You're all over it. You're 100% right.
Thanks. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the call. I appreciate the insight. Pac and I bonding in a stream would be definitely something that we would need to capture on video.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities, and the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Packer and Durham. Charles Snowden's going to join us here momentarily. Tremendous player for the University of Virginia. And he has been very busy on the protesting front, too, which we'll get into, which is all great. Again, we keep talking about young people taking ownership right now, and student-athletes have more power and flexibility to make a difference right now than ever before. We'll get into that momentarily. 844-SAY-ACCM. We'll take your phone calls too before we get out of here this morning at 10 a.m. But let's bring on Charles Snowden from the University of Virginia. There's Charles right there. Charles, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How y'all doing?
We're good. And by the way, that is some kind of dorm room you've got there at the University of Virginia.
This is my head office, so, where I'm interviewing from.
I will say one thing before we get into serious topics. Now that you're chilling and grilling at home, and I read an article about you about 2-3 months ago when all this stuff hit with the pandemic, that the cool thing was you missed the Virginia dining hall, but man, nothing beats mom making steaks, mac and cheese, and the pasta. So, I mean, how's a guy stay in such great shape when mom's absolutely, absolutely killing it in the kitchen? I understand she can cook.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a 2-for-1 because still just trying to add mass, add weight, add size, add strength. And Sunday night for dinner, I had 3 steaks, and they were all really good. So mom's home cooking is good to eat, and it's good for football, so I cannot complain.
That's three right.
Of Does them. Bronco know you ate 3 steaks?
Yes, he encouraged it.
See, that. Let me tell you something. Before we get into the serious topics, I'm all for a man eating 2 or 3 steaks. We don't need the pressure and aggravation that one's enough, right? I mean, if you want to eat 3, man, eat 3 steaks. I like the attitude already,
that's
Charles.
Yeah.
That's I like it.
How would you, Charles, I mean, of all the success you've had in football, and I know how important to you the value of the whole Virginia experience has been, how would you characterize the last 2 weeks of being a student athlete in today's college athletics and being at a prominent university like Virginia?
It's been interesting, honestly. I mean, it's just been a lot of emotional labor and also a lot of physical labor in terms of realizing the power and the unity that we have and just trying to leverage that to really just push the needle forward. Our goal really is just kind of to start with the Commonwealth and the Commonwealth of Virginia and see how we can impact there and from there expand as to how we can change the world, change the country.
Charles, I know that you've attended at least a handful of protests. That experience, from your perspective, an African-American, seeing America basically unite or divide based on what you saw, how would you describe what you've witnessed in all the protests that you've attended?
They're powerful, honestly. You can really just hear and feel people's frustration, their pain, and their anger. But you can also see the unity and the hope and the way people are moving forward and trying to unite and trying to drive change. It's been really inspiring for me to kind of hear people's stories down there, but also to really just see everyone, black, white, man, women, non-gender binary, and just seeing those people unite and rally around one cause, it's exciting.
Charles, the other aspect about this, and Marvin Wilson was with us on Monday, and we know certainly what he did last week. It was not protest related. It had to do with the situation involving Florida State. And it obviously worked out, and it seems, at least on the aftermath, that they're going to be a stronger program for it. When you go to Washington, you're on a different kind of team. You're on a team for change, just like in some respects Marvin Wilson was. What is it about going to Washington or even going to other places within the Commonwealth of Virginia and seeing fellow student athletes, seeing other students or friends of yours, either from high school or from college, What is it that is binding college kids today, be them athletes or not, in this cause, do you think?
I think it's just that shared experience of, I mean, on the field we might be foes, but off the field, off the court, like, we all share the experience of being black men in America. And if the people out there aren't black men, they are in a locker room with plenty of black men and kind of listen to them and understand their experience as well. And so just that, we all understand that we're fighting for the same cause, and we understand that being athletes, we have a little bit of a bigger platform. And so we just try to go out there and just make those unheard voices heard.
Charles, as far as your teammates are concerned, what kind of discussions have you had, if any, about, hey, we've got this opportunity now, right? So what else are we going to do? Awareness is one thing, right? Anybody can leave a statement or a video. That's all fine and good. There's nothing wrong with that. But the call to action, what have you guys discussed as a team that can take place for the University of Virginia?
Yeah, so the leadership on our team has met multiple times. And just right now, everyone had some sort of idea as to what they wanted to change. But now we're trying to hone in on, well, what can we do in the fall? What can we do in the winter? What can we do in the spring? Because those three time periods of the year all look different, and our availability is different. And so we're just trying to connect and really put in lasting ideas and lasting initiatives that we know going forward we'll continue to do, because we understand that right now it's a hot button issue and everyone's really emotional. But in a few months, that emotion won't be there. So what can we do? Like Coach Mendenhall always says, that scheduled events happen more often than non-scheduled events. So putting in consistent initiatives that going forward can just change our immediate community. And then from there, start to branch out.
You know, Charles, it's interesting because not only have you been in Washington when, you know, some of the marquee events of this protest nationally have occurred. I mean, you were there when the protesters were pushed back to make way for the president crossing to the church last week. You were also a member of the Virginia community that was involved in the aftermath of some of the things that happened in Charlottesville a few years ago. I mean, what all does that mean to you and the impact it's having on you personally, but also the impact it's having on Virginia and the university and the football program in particular? Because I know that both Coach Mendenhall and Coach Bennett, as well as with the athletics as a whole, was very instrumental in Charlottesville coming back. Does that help you now process a little bit about what this country's going through?
Yeah, definitely. I think that when the events happened in Charlottesville, that was my freshman year. And I saw guys like Micah Kaiser really take a stand and lead. And that really gave me an example and a model as to what I can do now in this time period. And then also just seeing the way Charlottesville united after those events, and that group kind of came in from out of Charlottesville. So seeing the way the school reacted and the people reacted and the people in Charlottesville and took a stand was really inspiring. And I will never forget, Coach Hagans, our wide receivers coach, spoke to us, spoke to the team, and he was just real and raw and authentic and genuine. And after I heard him speak, those events scared me, but after that, I knew that I picked the right place and I was home.
You know, having uncomfortable conversations need to become the norm. I think it's the one thing that, amongst other things, but, you know, from a white guy's perspective, right, being able to listen, because I'll never understand, ever understand how someone of an African-American descent lives a world that if I walk down the street and somebody else walks down the street, we see different things. So to be able to have uncomfortable conversations, I think right now, are really critical. And you got to be open-minded. You got to understand, hey, listen, you may not understand everything, but you've got to be aware and understand we can all live together if we just give each other some respect, love on fellow man, and let's move on. Let's move forward with a common understanding that, you know what, we're all here trying to do the same thing, and let's make this a better place. Simple as that.
No, I agree completely. And I'll say my teammates and my coaches, our white teammates and our predominantly white coaching staff, they've all just really honed in on wanting to listen, wanting to learn, and wanting to understand, because at the end of the day, they have our best interests at heart as people, but also just as black people as a whole, they want to see what's best for us. And so we've had multiple powerful, difficult conversations on our team, and I'm really excited for the future.
That's good to hear. It's really good to hear.
It's interesting that we come off of this, the pandemic, this particular situation, and now we're going to go to arguably, Charles, one of the most unique college football seasons. How do you process this into, you know, what the normal menu is in the fall? I mean, it's got to be a different change, if not a difficult change.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. This fall will definitely not look like any other fall. But I think this is really where you need to see leadership and unity. And I think guys have really stepped up. And our coaching staff from the beginning, once the pandemic hit, once they said we're not coming back to school, they really stepped up and said, guys, we're going to do this, this, and this. They set up multiple lines of communication, multiple lines of accountability. And from there, dudes have really stepped up and showed that they're working out, they're committed. And so it won't look normal, but we're going to try to make it as normal as possible.
Charles, given the pandemic, again, I think University of Virginia is one of the great academic institutions in America. Online classes versus walking into a class, how different, how difficult was that for you to finish off the semester?
It was very weird. Like, it was harder in the sense, not that I had more work. I had less work and I had more time. But just sitting in my dining room, trying to get myself to write a paper while there's a million things going on in my house, was just weird. It was just hard to sit on Zoom and listen to my professor teach. It was just difficult. It was just a lot of mental focus and trying to lock in. And so there were some long nights. I mean, I stayed up till like 5 a.m. Friday.
All right.
No business staying at 5 a.m., but I just couldn't help myself.
All right. With that said, and this is your first go-around with us, we've asked every student-athlete this question. Since your time at the University of Virginia, what has been the most difficult course?
Oof. My most difficult course. I would say, I took an econ class that was very difficult, and it taught me that econ is not in my future at all. So that was probably the most difficult. But my most challenging course is a class called Black Fire, and it's just teaches about the history of pretty much the inequalities and black people at UVA. And that was just challenging because, one, like everything we were talking about really hit home, but also just like it was a lot of information and it was really relevant and applicable. And so that was probably the most challenging course. My hardest course was definitely econ, and don't look forward to Charles knowing the economist in the future.
Well, let me tell you something. You're talking to an econ major right here. So for future consideration for your senior year, if you got some issues, I'm a phone call away to help you out on that. All right. Just let me know.
I appreciate that. I might hold.
Charles, no. There'll be no calling Packer for econ.
I am an econ.
I've taken my last.
Oh, you have? Okay, you lucked out then, because as an econ major, I could have helped you out on that deal. That would have been a piece of cake.
By the way, there's a better chance that it'll be Packer, Durham, and Snowden, or Snowden, Packer, and Durham before he calls you on an econ question.
Anytime Charles wants to come back and hang with us, we'll go SPD on this. We'll go Snowden, Packer, and Durham. That all works for me. No problem.
Okay. Waking up, talking sports. Nothing better than me.
But wait a minute. We're only going to allow you the top billing unless Mom throws a couple extra steaks on there for the talent. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm sure we can work out a deal.
There we go. I like it.
Hey, stay well, my man. It's always great to see you. Look forward to having you back on campus and look forward to seeing you roll the field this fall.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Charles Snowden of the University of Virginia here with Packer and Durham. By the way, Saturday night here on ACC Network. I don't know, Pack, I've seen a couple of these. They've been phenomenal. ACCN Primetime Football presented by Geico, November 28th, 1998. We'll be at Lane Stadium, Worsham Field in Blacksburg for number 16, Virginia, and number 20, Virginia Tech, known as the comeback.
Packer and Durham.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a very quick show. Thanks again to Pete DeBoer, Louis Corolla, and Charles Snowden, who joined us. All three of those gentlemen were outstanding. And again, Wes, you know, every day we've had, since we've been back, we've had a student athlete from the ACC that's been actively involved in terms of their voice, understanding they've got a presence, a responsibility to do the right thing. And you know, whether it was, you know, Marvin or Charles, who we just talked to, or Amir Sims yesterday. I mean, all three of those guys. I mean, I'm encouraged by just what we've heard on our show of student-athletes getting involved and saying, hey, listen, now's the time that we can really, truly make a difference. I think it's fantastic.
Mark, I think that, you know, obviously the pandemic changed the course of a lot of college athletics for the fall, right? I mean, we understand that the scheduling could be altered. There are a lot of differentials that are going to go into play and things like that, but I am firmly convinced that we're going to hear the voice of student athletes as a major storyline in the 2020-2021 athletic season, be it football. I think other sports, you're also going to hear the voice of student athletes. I really do. As I said Monday, I believe that young people have been activated in this through a lot of different ways, social media certainly being one of them. But I tell you what, when you visit with Charles Snowden, you visit with Marvin Wilson, Bryce Jarvis yesterday, and they're going to be more. You're going to hear from more student athletes as we roll through the summer to what is hopefully the start of the athletic and academic year. I think your people are going to really be impressed with the young people that are charged into the mission to make the world a better place, but certainly our country a better place.
Yeah. And they're not afraid to say, hey, listen, here's my voice. And you need to listen. You need to pay attention. I think it's great. And again, like I said, not everybody's going to agree. That's what makes the world go round, but you do need to be respectful, open-minded and aware that, hey, this is a changing time. And it's a fascinating time. Whether we're talking sports, politics, you name it, it's just been an amazing 2020. It really has. Unbelievable.
Absolutely. By the way, a couple of things here to get to before we say goodbye on a Wednesday. During the course of the pandemic and our time away from regular shows, we have had some folks step up and deliver what could best be described as a confessional of sorts. So a quarantine confessional. And we're going to start these quarantine confessionals with one of our all-time favorites and one of the originals from the old ACC Central, the Blue Ostrich, Tom Luganbill.
Good morning, Pack and Wes. Despite the bat wings growing out of the side of my head, my quarantine confession is that when I got bored watching film, I built a 7,000-piece bat wing.
Out of Legos. Look at that. You like it? You like it?
I don't even need to say anything. Of course he did. That's our man, Lugs.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
By the way, word has it that Tom Luganbill will be with us on Friday.
Oh, good.
For something we're going to call T-Shirt Friday on Packer and Durham. Luganbill will be with us.
So we're going tees on Friday, right? Completely casual Friday.
Yeah. By the way, also, the MLB draft, by the way, is later today. Are you familiar with that?
Of course, the Giants, the San Francisco Giants have the 13th pick. And again, first round tonight, we've gone from 40 rounds down to 5.
All right. And look who the Giants in the Kylie McDaniel mock draft 3.0. These are the ACC players projected. Yep. And look at your man, Patrick Bailey, played for Elliott Avent.
Yep.
You've already got a Georgia Tech guy in the fold up there. And now you're going to throw Patrick Bailey in there too.
We'll take them. In fact, we could take almost all those guys, to be honest with you, as bad as my boys are right now. But we are still tied for first place on June 10th. I would have never thought that heading into the 2020 season.
All right. So there's a look at the ACC guys headed by Reed Detmers, the outstanding pitcher at Louisville. I know we got less than a minute here.
Do we have time for the wildlife shot, Pack? I want you to see this. Here's Drew Brooks' backyard in Connecticut.
What?
Pack, can you
what?
Guess the weight of this bear?
This is really in Drew's backyard? Oh, my God. I'm going to say over and under versus Michael Jordan's Marlin. I'm going to go over. Over.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.